Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Josh and Anna podcast. I'm Josh.
I'm Anna.
And today we are going to be looking at one of the most controversial, one of the most watched things in the 2023 year. Mm-hmm. And that is the first Republican primary debate.
Right.
So this is hotly debated. I wanted to wait a good week or two after this film to mm-hmm. do a review of it, do a discussion about it, because I wanted to see how the polls were before and after.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing for me to say, okay, these are the candidates that I felt like did the best and did the worst, but I want to see on average, what did America feel?
Yeah.
But what was your general takeaway when we were watching it? We watched it the night of.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating to try to watch it live because there was like only a few people streaming it. And then you had to listen to their commentary, like a reaction video.
Yeah, well, I went into it, I think, almost like the person that doesn't know anything. Usually that's how I go into anything because I knew DeSantis and I knew Mike Pence, which I didn't even know was running for president, to be honest with you.
Like, I forgot.
Because, see, I don't know. He's so gray. Like, he's like a wall. I forgot that he was even in the room. And the rest, I just knew by name. And some of them, not even by name. Like the guy,
Burcham?
No, that one I liked. I liked him.
Tim Scott?
No, the other guy. The guy who was like all the way up to the left.
Was he the friendly neighbor guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he looked like, you know, a friendly neighbor. But I completely forgot his name. I completely forgot the sound of his voice, what he talked about. So I was very new to almost everybody, or at least to what they talked about, to what they defended.
Mm-hmm.
And my impression was that Vivek was like super good. He was really, really good, really, you know, talking about everything that he believed he was going to do, which most of them don't do because they're politicians. So they talk like politicians.
Right.
So if they don't feel like answering the question, they will go like, you know, that is true. But what we did in California was this and this and this.
They reframe everything.
45% of homelessness. Like they answer a different question. I'm like, what the heck? Like, I actually wanted to hear what he would say about that. So they do the politician thing. It's very annoying. But I thought that he was good. I thought that Nikki Haley was very competent, like more competent than I thought she was going to be. I thought that that guy, the Bogan guy, the guy with the thick eyebrows, is it Bogan?
He's like a former governor. Was it Arkansas? Or I'm trying to remember.
No, North Dakota.
Okay.
North Dakota, I think. I would vote for him if he was a little younger and a little more powerful in his speech, because I actually really liked the guy.
Yeah.
You know? And
you seem like a straight shooter.
Yeah. Mike Pence, like I said, is just a wall. And
very robotic. I would say Pence is one of the most robotic candidates there are, in my opinion.
Yeah. He's just like, his hair doesn't look real. It looks like they placed it. It's a piece of metal. And what's his name? DeSantis has a Chandler smile. Like every time that he did.
After he gave like his little speech, he gave like the half smile, almost like someone in his ear was saying, now smile.
Exactly. And it was like a Chandler smile. If you ever watched Friends, that was a Chandler smile, like 100%. I could not stop laughing about it. So, you know, those are my, like the what's his name? Tim Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, he talked so slow. My dude.
He did claim he's like, I'm from the South. So
slow.
Right.
So very kind of forgettable. And the other dude, the dude that was like the governor of the state that nobody likes. How is they called? Jersey.
Oh, Jersey. Chris Christie.
Yeah.
My goodness.
He was very unlikable.
So he actually, according to the polls, he was the least likable candidate.
Yeah.
And he lost points because he just came off as whiny and complaining.
Yeah.
Like about everything. He was very aggressive, but not in a good way. Not like a strong, this is what I believe.
Yes.
But almost like he was just trying to be a Trump bully.
Yeah.
You know, and it came off poorly, I think.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, Vivek, I think, did perform strongly. But he was also easily the most attacked candidate.
Well, it made sense, right? Because it was like a to go against Trump was a bad thing to do on that debate. Because even though everybody knew that he was the first candidate, like he's so ahead of everybody else, you can't just go against Trump because the public was like, boo, you're like in a Republican debate. But also DeSantis was the same thing. Like everybody admired him so much for what he did during the pandemic that nobody went against DeSantis, but everybody went against Vivek because he's like the third guy. And he's the one actually growing very significantly in the polls. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, this is the guy that everybody's going to go against.
That's the threat. Yeah. He is dangerous. If he continues to, if Vivek continues to grow at the rate that he grew over the past 3 months, he's going to catch up to Trump and he's going to leave everyone in the dust.
Do you think so?
Oh, yeah. That's why everyone went after him. If you look at the numbers here from the past year, at the top is Trump. He hovers between 55 and 50% approval. And DeSantis has been hovering around 20 to 25. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until the past 3 months, which I feel like is when Vivek really started breaking through social media. I saw him everywhere. He went from having 2% of people said they would vote for him 3 months ago, and now it's 10% right the debate. So just in 2 or 3 months, he more than quadrupled his approval. And so he was just eclipsing everyone. And what's crazy is at the same time, DeSantis came from 21% of people said they would vote for him down to 10. So I think a lot, he basically took a huge chunk of DeSantis followers who were, in my opinion, the ones who are fairly right-leaning and they were Trump's fans and decided Ron DeSantis was a more palatable version of Trump.
Yes.
And then Vivek comes along and they're like, oh, that guy, that's my guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's better than DeSantis. He's clear. He's more well-spoken. He has stronger ideals that have a lot more conviction and they seem more...
clarity.
Clarity is the word. It's unbelievable clarity. Someone that you can tell, like, oh yeah, that's not a politician.
Yeah.
Like, that is not... He did not come out of D.C. He came out of, like, some private industry where you have to be extremely clear.
Yeah.
And so I think he took a huge chunk out of DeSantis. Even though DeSantis was one of the only people who didn't attack him, DeSantis probably didn't. He attacked people almost the least out of everyone. It was just more that he was there. He wanted
to survive.
He was there to survive. But I think DeSantis still did a good job of just restating everything he's already stated so far. So nothing was surprising. He was like, this is me. This is where I am.
Yeah.
And so it was him and Vivek. And Vivek, after the debate, dropped down 1 point. So in my opinion, 1 point up, 1 point down, it's pretty much you've remained neutral. DeSantis went up a couple points.
Well, but who went up after the debate?
Nikki Haley went up from 2% to 7%. So she saw an extremely high jump.
Yeah.
So Pence went from 3% to 7%. Nikki Haley went from 2% to 7%. Everyone else is, it's kind of like, why were you there? Why are you even worth talking about?
But that's interesting to me because I didn't think that, you know, if these people went up, why didn't Vivek? Because, like, I watched the debate and he was the person that I liked the most. But I liked him because he didn't have the qualities that the other candidates had. So it might be that the people that watched it were not like me at all. Like, they were looking for the qualities that the other ones had, but Vivek was just too much for them. You know? So why do you think he didn't go up?
I think it has to do with what each part of the country is looking for. And it's so complicated. I feel like if you were a campaign strategist, you would know every part of the country and the things you should say and the things that you shouldn't say when you're campaigning on that specific audience. This is an interesting quote I had here. Here it says, different candidates have been able to pull varying demographic support from the Trump base. That's the goal, right? They want to take as much of the support that Trump already has and bring it onto themselves. So Vivek has been doing that by saying, I love Trump. I thought he was the greatest president of the century. You know, I would he was the first person to say I would pardon him if, or I would support him as the party's nomination, even if he's convicted of these crimes.
Yes.
Where he was the only person who put his hand up in the beginning. He put it up right away.
Yes.
And then who did it after that? I think Nikki Haley did it after that. Then it was Tim Scott. Then it was whoever was at the right of Tim, left of Tim Scott. And then after DeSantis had looked around, then he kind of put it up.
Yeah.
And then Chris Christie was sort of like wishwashy.
He said no. He said
basically
he
said no.
Yeah. Someone said, like, oh, you didn't quite raise your hand. He was like, I didn't raise my hand at all. I was doing this. That's right. What he's like. I'm not engaging.
For me, and I know that I'm already biased now because I like Vivek, is that when I saw that DeSantis was so political and calculated about whether or not he would raise his hand, he's looking around, I'm thinking, that's not a leader, that's a follower. And that really disappointed me in DeSantis.
Yeah, there were a couple of moments like that, that, you know, they had the opportunity to come out strong in something and they didn't. And that was one of the things. Every time that they had to answer a question and raise their hands to answer the question, they would take too long.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, like, hands up. And that signals something. It's like, if you really want to do something like stand up or go out when everybody is inside, or you want to say something about something, and you wait for the first person to do it.
Right.
And if the first person do it, then you get the courage to do it. So that means like you're never going to be the person, like you said, you're never going to be the leader in the room. He was the leader in the room on those moments. But also, like, it makes me think, how much do those people know about these campaigns and about the politics of getting votes and getting elected that make them talk like that? Hmm. Because they talk, my goodness.
They don't talk human. They talk like a political robot that went through ChatGPT.
Exactly. So when they talk, it's like, you know, I'm going to do this, like the hands up like this, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to clean the country. And it's like full of promises, but it's not really like a conversation. And when he talks, he talks like a CEO. He talks like, this is, you know, it's not difficult. When at some point he's like, guys, it's not difficult. Like, right. This is what
I loved it because Vivek kept basically almost like removing the fourth wall for a minute and just being like, this is insane that everyone's not saying anything.
Yes.
Like, this is what actually needs to be done. This is how I would do it.
Yeah.
And it's not complicated.
Yeah.
And then immediately you almost wake up out of this weird political daze that you've just been hypnotized into. And you're like, he's right, though. He's the only person. You might not like what he says. You might disagree with everything that he said. There's a lot of things you can disagree with.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, you can't deny that he's one of the clearest, most well-spoken candidates up there. And so more on this quote here, it says, for example, Mike Pence, who saw an overall 4-point bump in voter support, was able to increase his support in the Midwest from 4% to 13% of the vote, while Trump saw his Midwest support drop from 54% to 52% after the debate. So from what I remember of Mike Pence, he kept using every opportunity he could to talk about his biblical roots and his heritage, and he's quoted scripture.
And he got the Midwest.
He got the Midwest because that's where you're going to have the demographic of the Bible Belt. And so it's like when you ask who was the winner, it's like, well, what part of the country?
Yes.
And what was said in the debate? And when I'm listening to these people, it sounds, for me, I felt like that sounded forced. Even as someone who's a Christian, when I was listening to Mike Pence, it sounded like he was trying to massage that in too much, where it didn't feel natural, didn't feel like it flowed from conviction. It felt like he had rehearsed it, and it didn't even directly match what the question was being asked.
Again, politicians.
It was so frustrating. And so that's something that I feel like the whole country as a whole, just as if we can back up like 10,000 feet for a second, I think it's so incredibly important to talk about the concept of overall political fatigue that the whole country feels, not just because of the polarized battle in 2016, but because of an overall social media inundation of political verbiage to the point where we've gotten really good on average of spotting political BS. Whereas 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, before even the radio, it was really whoever was listening to the candidate in person.
Yeah.
And they had to go in person to these rallies to figure it out. And then they would have to read about these rallies in the newspaper to get an idea of the candidate. And when the radio came out, that was the first time where a politician's voice really mattered. So you could actually hear his voice. And that made a big difference. And then when you had video and audio and you had the TV, you know, then your presentation mattered. And then the debates actually made a really big difference, because it's like, even if you heard the debate and you thought one candidate won, the people who saw the debate saw something very different. And so now today, you could very easily on your phone within 5 minutes see the highlights of the entire presidential debate and get an idea on your head of like, yeah, that guy's fake, that guy's a robot, that guy's a pawn, that guy's bought out, but that guy actually might be worth his salt. So you can sort of laser lock in so easily. You can look at the debate in South Korea or Israel, and you can get these translations, and you can read about what the people on both the right and the left in that country think about that person, all in just a few minutes of cursory research on the internet. So we have unprecedented access to a full band of information about a candidate, from what they sound like to how they act. Greater than any time in history, the average citizen is able to have such a complete repository of reference points to pull from. And now we're comparing that to the debate. And when you look at the debate stage, I'm just getting so exhausted every time I hear these politicians talk about, oh, well, what I did here in this. And it's like, that's not the question. Or it's like, oh, well, you know, in the Bible, it says, it's like, that doesn't have to do with what he's asking. Like, you're just trying to pull the Midwest into your into your voter base.
So I have a question for you. Like, watching, you know, after watching this debate, I have the question of, like, do everybody on that stage, are they running for president because they think they can win the nomination, or did they have different intentions in running for president? Because the impression that I got is that some of them, they are definitely going for the nomination, and some of them have different motives.
That's a good point. Like, yeah, there is a theory running around that Vivek isn't running for the nomination, he's running for VP.
I think Nikki Haley is too.
You think
because, so? Because the Democrats already have a woman as a vice president. Ooh. She's the worst person,
Kamala Harris,
that they could have ever picked if they were blindfolded, ran around, like, you know, just went around in circles and then picked anybody on the street. Chances that they would be better than Kamala Harris at speaking, at public speaking, at anything, at like being likable, are like, you know, bigger than what they did with Kamala Harris.
I really believe that her choice, the choice of picking Kamala Harris as the VP for Biden, was extremely intentional. I think they needed someone who was a woman and someone who was Black, and that's specifically from Biden's mouth before he picked
exactly.
her.
He said,
we will
that.
Have, I guarantee it will be a Black woman. It's like, okay, so now we have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So who is the Black woman that will be the least likely to be a threat?
Yeah.
Because that's who Biden would pick. If you really wanted to run again and not be usurped, by someone who is like super cunning and intelligent, more well-spoken and more liked, you know, you have to pick someone who's way, way worse than you. And who's worse than an 80-year-old crazy dementia patient? It's going to be Kamala Harris.
She is so bad. So in my head, you know, if people like on the Republican side, we're not, you know, Republicans are not very good at culture. They're not very good at playing the game. Like, these candidates, some of them are so honest. They go up there like the little old, like, thick eyebrow guy that took, like, the Constitution off his pocket and is like, this is what we're going to do. I love it. It's like, yeah, I like you, dude. You're not going to win.
Yeah.
You know? But then they go to the opposite side, which is, like, speaking like a puppet, and nobody likes them because they don't know how to be likable. They don't know, like, how to be like Obama was. Obama was really likable.
One of the best speakers.
He was so smooth. Like, I hated almost all his policies. I liked the dude because he knew how to speak. He knew how to joke. He knew, like, nuance. And most of the Republican candidates don't have it. So their game might be like, oh, yeah, let's bring a woman aboard. So we win the respect of the people that don't see diversity in the White House. Yes, she's not Black, but she's really smart. And she actually spoke for women's rights. Exactly. And she's actually, you know, a very good, well-spoken. Or Vivek, you know, he might be going for the vice president as well. Just because they are behind, but they are not nothing. You know, like, she has, what, 10%? And he has something like that, too. So they are not nothing. Now what's his name? The Florida guy.
DeSantis
is going to win. Like, he's not going to be anybody's vice president. I think he would accept it. I don't think that Trump would accept it.
No, Trump will not be vice president to anyone. I really don't believe. I think he would flip the card table over rather than be the VP for someone. That's just not who he is. He's too egotistical.
Yeah.
In 2016, Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Trump won by quite a wide margin, whereas every major mainstream media poll, except for Fox News, was saying that Hillary Clinton would win in a landslide.
Yeah.
And she didn't.
Yeah.
He won 10 states over her. It was 30-20.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got 320-some electoral college votes. She only got like 220. Mm-hmm. So it was not close. Hillary Clinton still got the popular vote, but Trump won the country.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020... it was extremely close. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievably close.
Yeah,
it was
close.
Literally 40,000 votes over three states is what made Biden win.
Mm-hmm.
It was razor sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Razor sharp. And I believe if the Hunter Biden story wasn't suppressed by the government,
he wouldn't have won.
No, Trump would have won.
Yeah.
So now you have it where Biden's reputation has only gone down.
Mm-hmm.
From then.
Mm-hmm.
He's had too many gaffes. He said too many things that haven't come through with the student loans being repaid and cleaning up the economy. It's like, no, inflation has continued to ramp.
The whispering when they're talking about the economy. you know, right. when he whispers, and it's so weird.
It's weird. He sniffed one too many kids. Like, people are tired, and they really don't want Biden, and they don't want Kamala Harris even more. Yeah. Somehow even more than they don't want Biden.
Well, yeah, because she's a hyena. Like, she laughs so loud, and she doesn't make any sense. You know, she's talking about school buses and how we love them and how culture is the passage of time. Like, it makes no sense.
It's so confusing. So my question is, what will happen in 2024 if, right now, if things were the way they were right now, Trump would win the nomination for the Republican candidacy by a wide margin. And Biden is claiming that he wants to run again if he's well enough. So if he runs again against Trump, who would win?
I think that the question is, if Biden won the 2020 election, did Trump get more support in these 4 years? Because what they've been doing during these 4 years is more focused on him than on the country itself. Like, you know, the Democrat side is trying to frame him for everything possible. Like, he has, I don't know, a smudge on his table, frame him for that, you know, like, incriminate him for that. Like, how do you say, like, you know, this is make everything that he has possibly been accused of like a reality. They just did, you know, like the mugshot.
Right.
What, which they didn't have to, but they did it because, you know, like, they're trying to frame him as a criminal. Do you think that during these 4 years, he got more popular to the point that more people that didn't vote for him in 2020 would vote for him now?
I think that his original base still supports him, or a portion of that base is ready to support his policies in a different candidate like DeSantis, Vivek, etc.
Right.
I don't think he's lost anyone from the Republican Party. And I think his support has only increased among minorities. And after the mugshot that he had, his voting support among blacks has gone from 4-6% up to 20%. So it quadrupled after his mugshot came out.
Well, my question is, do you think that the Democrats are trying to incriminate him to prevent him from running? Or do you think that they're doing that so he gets more popular now and the Republicans cannot find a different candidate that's going to actually have the possibility of winning? Because they are so sure that Trump is not going to win again. So it's one of the two things. Either they're trying to prevent him from running because they're afraid that he can win, or they know he cannot win and they're distracting from everybody else that can be a possible candidate. And they're trying to, like, call attention to him?
No, they're afraid of him winning again.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. I think they're afraid of him winning again. He's their worst nightmare. It came unbelievably close in 2020. So I think that they're afraid he's going to win again. And they're doing everything that they can, throwing anything against the wall that could stick. That's what I think is happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Because what Trump did on the time that he was president, he chose a vice president that was, again, a beige wall with a hair that looked like it was painted there. So what he can do now, and he didn't win again, even though he was very popular, he's also very divisive. Either you really like Trump or you absolutely despise the guy. And a lot of people that I talk to, I'm not from here, right? Like, I came here while Trump was president, but I knew of him and I knew a lot of the things that he did because in Brazil, I used to watch comedy shows. Like, I used to watch SNL. It helped with my English because TV, like, my uncles had cable and I would go to bed watching, like, the shows on cable. And they didn't have Portuguese subtitles, so it would help me to practice my English. And I also used to watch a lot of Comedy Central. And, you know, they had, like, those new comedians doing a 5 minutes, and I watched all of them. And they made so many Trump jokes, and they were not good jokes either. Like, they were really bad jokes. And at some point, it got, like, suspicious for me. I was just like, why does everybody trash on this guy? Like, it doesn't sound natural. It's not like they're talking about the things that he's actually done. They just trash on him. Like, they just dislike him. And I didn't understand it. And in my mind, if you see culture going against, like, Hollywood, going against someone, like, everybody's thinking the same, that is suspicious. Like, I don't trust that much. I will more likely like that person than dislike that person. Just because the people that run Hollywood are a bunch of pedophiles, a bunch of abusers, a bunch of people that are not great. Like, every week they discover a new crime in that place. And everybody else pretends that they never heard of it. And they keep moving, but they rule culture. So if someone who is not great says, like, oh, you're bad, I am interested in knowing if you're actually bad right. or if you're someone who is good that is annoying the other people. So when I came here and I started actually listening to Trump, I was like, yeah, he's funny as heck. He's really funny. I can see why people would dislike him because he will say whatever he's thinking. But I didn't hate him. I was just like, I just don't hate the guy. You know, like he wouldn't be my best friend. You know, but I'm not electing a best friend. And when I see Biden talking, I was like, yeah, I don't believe that guy for a second.
Nope.
It was like a Hamilton situation. If you ever watch Hamilton, you know, when he tries to get, you know, two candidates try to get his support and he supports the one that he didn't like because he said like, oh, that one actually stands for something. And the other guy was like, yeah, you won't stand for anything. You just are a wishy-washy because you want to survive.
Right. He's a flip-flopper. Exactly. He's a politician.
So watching Biden and Trump, I was like, yeah, I would vote for Trump. I actually like most of his policies. I don't like how much money he spends. I don't like how much money any of them spend. But I think that if he wants a chance of winning now, he needs to choose a VP that is more likable than what he did last time. Like Pence is...
He's definitely not picking Pence, especially after Pence refused to support his questioning of the election results.
Yes.
And so that was the whole thing with precipitated January 6th.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis, he has his own axe to grind with him mm-hmm. because Ron DeSantis is running against him when Ron DeSantis only was in that position as governor of Florida because Trump backed him. So that's what happened. That he originally got it because Trump backed him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was close to losing.
Yeah, first time.
He only won by a tiny little bit mm-hmm. against someone who was a literal drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second election, mm-hmm. once people had seen what DeSantis could do,
yeah.
he won by an absolute landslide. Yeah. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, he bragged about it.
Yeah,
the debate.
But it was because of Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, a huge part was because of Trump.
Yeah.
And so now Trump feels like he made the person.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I gave you everything, and now you're coming against me as running. Right. And he's number two yeah. in the polls right now.
Yeah. Well, he has a, if Trump made him the VP, which would be a very smart thing to do, because one, he would take that target like, oh, you're no longer running against me. You're running next to me. But also DeSantis has the hope of being the president next. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, yeah, you have that experience now. You're actually in the White House. It's just like Biden. Like, Biden has always been incompetent, but he was the VP for Obama, which
right.
was one of the most popular presidents of all times.
Right.
So you just do that by association. I think, if you would ask me, if Trump is the nominee, I think that it would be either the VP DeSantis or Vivek or Nikki Haley. It's one of the three.
It has to be. Jinx. No, you're right. And I think his choice mm-hmm. will dictate how his campaign goes against Biden. Mm-hmm. I think that is important, who he picks as VP.
Oh, yeah.
I believe mm-hmm. if something crazy happens in the next year mm-hmm. and we're in election season and Vivek wins the primary, I do not think that the Democrats will run Biden again.
Which
I think
is
they won't.
His theory.
Yeah, exactly. That's Vivek's theory, and I agree with him. Uh-huh. I think it's too much of a contrast
yeah.
between someone extremely young and well-spoken
yeah.
against this old
and
guy.
And brown.
Yeah, and a brown person.
Which for them is very important. Shouldn't be, but it is.
Right, you can't play the race card
right.
against someone like him.
Yeah.
You know, not well anyway, without you looking bad as an old white person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's almost an unbeatable campaign.
Yeah.
And so I think that they'll let things leak. Maybe mm-hmm. about the Hunter Biden thing, the Burisma oil deal, Ukraine, whatever.
It wouldn't be very difficult.
No.
To take Biden out.
I feel like there's got to be unbelievable forces at hold trying to hold back this gigantic deluge of scandals.
This guy is such like... Some people, I look at them, like when I see them talk and I go like, how doesn't anybody see that this guy is absolutely piece of crap? Like, you know, like the guy from California, what's his name?
Gavin Newsom.
He literally looks like a villain from Gotham City.
He does. He's a literal slicked back hair politician.
Like literally.
Yeah. And he doesn't follow his own rules.
He's
rules for thee and not for me. Like he got totally blown up when he made everyone go on lockdown during COVID. Mm-hmm. And then he was caught having a whole party.
That other woman from Chicago, what's her name? Like the Beetlejuice lady?
Lori Lightfoot.
Yes. Yeah. She's another one. Like I look at her, it's like, guys, do you hear her? Like, do you hear her talk?
Lori Lightfoot became the first politician in Chicago in 40 years to lose re-election. which I thought, I mean, that's pretty bad.
That, well, it was also well deserved. She was garbage. I'm so sorry for the people of Chicago, but she was absolute garbage. But anyway, my question to you is, who do you think they would run if Vivek won the nomination?
It would be Michelle Obama. They'd probably ask her. I don't even know if she wants to do it, but it's possible. I think at that point it would be a free-for-all. I think Clinton would try to run again. I mean, why not?
I mean, he's really old.
How old is Clinton?
Oh, you're talking about the
Hillary.
Oh, Hillary.
Yeah, it can't be Bill. I should have specified. That was my bad.
Which Clinton?
That's a good point. He's like, all right, let's do this. No, I think that it would be Hillary Clinton. And she doesn't seem too old for me. She's old, but if you compare her to Biden, she looks like a spring chicken.
She's low unlikable.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Nobody likes her.
That's the problem. But why wouldn't she run again? That's what I'm saying. Why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. When you came that close and you lost, why wouldn't you give it another go? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's possible it'll be her. I think Gavin Newsom would run for president. Mm-hmm. I mean, that might actually be a contender when you have Gavin Newsom versus Vivek.
Yeah, because he's very well spoken too.
Yes, he is.
And the people of California, for some reason, like that dude.
It's very unclear why.
It's because it's California. That's why. With all due respect to all the people of California.
I did want to show you a couple of things here. So I was looking at different polls on both right, left, leaning, and center news sources. Mm-hmm. Trump, this is what's interesting. Trump lost 6 points from that. Mm-hmm. Just having this debate going on without him, he lost 6 points. 6% of the people were thinking like, yeah, I guess I would vote for Trump. Mm-hmm. And then they saw the debate and they're like, well, he didn't even show up. Mm-hmm. So I might as well pick one of these people.
Yeah.
You know, and so he just did his own press conference with
Tucker
Carlson, and he put it on Twitter.
Yeah, at the same time.
So. I haven't even seen it, to be honest. It got a lot of views. It got like 212 million views immediately.
Well, yeah, because you had to pick one of the two. And we didn't even watch the whole thing live because we were like recapping later on at night. And the people that were live streaming, they were live streaming like the debate. And then when it went to commercials, they went to the Trump interview. So we would see like 2 minutes of it.
Right. And to be honest, I don't even have like a huge desire to watch the whole Trump thing just because I'm like, I kind of know what Trump is about. Yeah. And I've been always, even though I like a lot of his policies, I have been frustrated by his lack of clarity when he speaks sometimes, where he uses generalities like, we will win. The economy will be the greatest you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Trust me. No one come close. No one comes close to me. You know, it's like, it's too much self-aggrandizing. It's too much like, it lacks clarity. And he doesn't get into specifics very much.
Well, but he won like that the first time.
He's just trying to do Trump 2.0, like basically do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's running as if this was still the first race, but it's not. It's the third one. Yeah. And he lost the second one. It's really hard to lose when you're already the president. You know, because you have the advantage of having the economy behind you. Now, mind you, that Trump might be one of the people that got the most affected by COVID in the sense that some people and businesses got way up because of it.
Oh, yeah.
Grew a lot. And people and businesses got way down because of it. So you have like, what's that video conference thing? Zoom? Mm-hmm. You know, Zoom got a lot of...
Oh, yeah. Everyone's from home. You know, huge.
You do Zoom. Huge. Like, I've never heard of Zoom before, but COVID made it... Like, the same with TikTok. TikTok was huge. I remember talking about TikTok maybe 6 months before COVID. I was like, yeah, this is going to be like Vine, you know?
And the stimulus in general, the trillions of dollars they pumped into the economy with just pure liquidity, giving checks out to people, giving checks to businesses to stay open. That was an insane boost on the economy. The S&P took off like a rocket.
Yes.
Back when everyone was like, oh, we're due for a correction. It's been a bull market since 2008. Like, this can't go on forever. Then it did. They pumped so much money into it, of which we still are recovering from.
Yes.
And that basically increased the inflation too, which now Biden's getting blamed for. Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, listen, like this, it started with the stimulus payments.
Yes.
And he continued it.
Yeah.
He continued it with a lot of his economic policy. But it's both of them. Yeah. And that's something that even Nikki Haley brought up.
Yeah.
And she was the first person, by the way, to say something negative about Trump in the entire debate. Mm-hmm. And I was reading this article. It said it was 15 minutes into the debate before anyone said anything bad about Trump. And she was the first one. Mm-hmm. So it's like people didn't want to touch it because they're like, he is the front runner. And I just want to take his base, but take them kindly.
Yes.
And not upset the Papa Bear, if you will.
And the people who are voting for him.
Exactly.
Because you need to convince people that you are more likable than Trump. And if they like Trump, you don't want to, you know, come in and say bad things about the person that they decided to vote for, because that way they will take an offense on you.
Right.
And just not vote for you out of spite.
When I heard Vivek for the first time watch this town hall with Patrick Bet David, mm-hmm. another town hall he did, and I heard it, and after a while I'm like, okay, I kind of know what this guy's about. Mm-hmm. And you go back and now I listen to Trump just mm-hmm. personally. Now I'm like, there's no question. If it was Trump versus Vivek, it's just a hunt for me. It's 100% Vivek. Mm-hmm. You know, he's more clear spoken. He has way, way more clarity, like you said. Mm-hmm. So much more clarity with specifically what he will do and how he will do it. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't use these like general sound bites of it would be the greatest economy. Yeah. It's like we're all tired of hearing that.
Yeah.
Like even people who are Trump supporters, I feel like got to be tired of hearing that eventually.
Well, it really depends on what you're looking for, because the thing about Vivek is that because he's not a politician, he has no experience to support him.
True.
He needs to be direct. If he's not direct, why on earth would you vote for this guy?
Good point.
he can't say like, look at what I did in Illinois when I was like, he was never anything for any state. So the only experience he has is to running companies. And he said that, like, you know, my family came from nothing. Now I have billion-dollar companies, you know, and he stated that as the only background experience he has. He knows how to make things successful. He knows how it is to grow by yourself. And that's a hell out of a resume on your back. But when you are among politicians, they have their name, the name recognition of just like, yeah, the people from that state are all going to vote for you. Because you were the governor, you know, there, and they like you, or the media has been talking about you for a while for different things. You've been in the House, you've been in Washington for a while, you know how things run. So his strategy was, one, don't go against the main guy, because you're trying to get the favor of the people who are going to vote for the main guy, or for the main guy himself. Like, he wants Trump to like him because he knows how big the guy is. Yep. So when they said, like, are you going to support him? His hand went up so fast because he wanted to show exactly what he stands for. And the other thing is, just tell people exactly what you believe. Tell people exactly what you're going to do. Even though sometimes he sounded delusional.
He did.
You know, like,
let's be honest. Some of the things that he said, like, I'm going to reduce the federal workforce by 70%. I'm going to make term limits for everyone in the federal government. For every single voting citizen in the United States will either have to have served in the military or take the citizenship test. Like, I'm going to disband the Board of Education. Like, his claims are so extreme.
Yes.
That you're thinking, how is he going to do that?
Yeah.
Is that even within the executive branch?
Exactly. And that he did not do a great job at being realistic. He was doing the same thing that the politicians did, but being specific about it. Because what the other ones did was like, you know, I'm going to change the economy around. We are going to bring back home the work. We're going to blah, 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 blah. Very general. No idea how they're going to do it. But he was saying, like, this is what I'm going to do specifically. And we looked at both of them like, yeah, you guys are not going to do that. One, because, you know, they didn't say it, but him, because it sounded like you can't do that as a one person.
Completely agree. So just to wrap things up, I looked at when the next debate is. It's next month. Mm-hmm. It's like September 20-something. Uh-huh. And it's going to be streamed on Fox News just like the other one. And I was looking, okay, how many of these are there going to be? And uh-huh. It turns out it depends on the election. It depends on the year. It depends on all kinds of things. Uh-huh. But there can be about 12 a year, like one a month, which I did not know. I thought there would be one now and then maybe one again, like next year. And then they would do the nomination and then figure out, and then it would be the general. Mm. But no, there could be quite a few more of these. So I say the next time we have one, mm-hmm. we'll watch it. And we should bring on some guests so we can talk more about it with other people who might have other opinions and maybe support other candidates, and we can get like a synergy going.
Yeah.
Because you and I, we tend to, we don't agree on everything, that's for sure. But we agree on a lot of things.
Yes.
And so I thought that'd be a fun thing to do for the next debate.
Yeah, I'm in.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. Comment, like, subscribe. Let us know who you're supporting down below and why. And we will see you guys in the next podcast episode.
Thank you guys.
Bye.